Time for a Friday Locked On Syracuse podcast, getting you ready for Saturday's game against Florida State. Episode number 500, Ty, of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Can you believe that?
Are we going to make 500 more? Do you think we're going to make it to 500 more?
What has this been now?
2.5 years? 2 years? Actually, no, we're coming up on 2 years. Yeah, coming up on 2 years.
Time flies. Our first episode, we were discussing Dior Johnson committing the day after.
Yeah, and a buzzer beater from Bryson Goodine.
Right. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Just time is flying. It's episode 500. And thanks for being along with the journey for us. But we will dive into Florida State, a full preview today on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome you on into the Florida State Preview Podcast on this Friday. Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky, thanking you for making us your first listen every single weekday. Only place for daily SU pods. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, or you can also check us out for free on YouTube. Just hit the subscribe button, smash the like button, as the YouTube millennials like to say. Apparently that helps out.
Like, comment, algorithm. Subscribe, all that stuff.
We'll have to add some graphics in maybe at some point to really fit into the YouTube algorithm.
You know, it got me thinking too, like all the different things we've done from episode one to now the 500th episode of the show. YouTube, obviously a big innovation of that. And we appreciate everyone that subscribes to us on YouTube, but got me wondering too, if you listen to episode one of us, I'd like to know who you are. Like, tweet at us at @_Syracuse. If you listened to the first episode and now you're listening to the 500th episode, I'd love to. If you remember us breaking down Bryson Goodine's buzzer beater against, what was that, Wake Forest, and then Dior Johnson committing all in the span of about 24 hours. If you remember that episode, or even that first, like the first five episodes that week, because it was a hell of a time of things happening for Syracuse then. If you remember any of those episodes and listen to those, tweet at us, because I'd love to know who you are. I'd love to know who's been here from day one all the way to day 500.
Yeah, there's probably one person, because everyone else just got
James Zuba. It's James Zuba.
James Zuba.
That's the list.
Shout out to you, James. Thanks for being along for the ride the entire time.
By the way, I do want to say a shout out to John Casillo as well. I saw he's hanging up the pen for Noon's Magician. He's been great. Right. He's been there like over a decade now, or about a decade.
Yeah, that's cool.
But congratulations to him. He's riding off into the sunset. Unfortunately, this is the Syracuse team that put him over the edge. But congrats. We always love reading your work, John.
Yeah, he had a good sort of signing off article that I read through today, which was interesting. It was cool to see him talk about all his time that he's put into Noon's Magician over there. But all right, Florida State, they're 9-5. Coming up, two solid wins here. Louisville and Miami at home beat Miami on Tuesday night by 165-64. Syracuse going for the sweep against them after they played on December 4th. A win when it was simpler times in Orange Land, 63-60 win.
That was when tournament was on. Like this was the win that put the tournament on. It was back on. Like, not the
final
the
four. Was
final
on
four was on. Yeah.
Then. Yeah. And now NIT is on our minds a little bit. It looked like a better win then, but Florida State is still a solid team. Part of me is worried that we might be catching them at a bad time here after we caught them at a good time initially, but this time you get the dome crowd on your side. And I think Syracuse is trending up as well. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, both of these teams are playing some of their best basketball right now, and I think that's important. And I think you brought up another point there. I think that's important is that Syracuse is the home team this time around. That's how big that first win was, especially at the time. Obviously, Florida State went into a little bit of a lull, played some close games, and even lost some games to some teams that they shouldn't have. But for them to sort of be trending up at this right time, this is a chance to potentially pick off. I don't know if it'll end up being a quad one win and all likelihood, but it'll be a quad two when it's all said and done. I think we can pretty safely assume that at this point. This is a huge game for Syracuse. And this is one of those where you've been playing well. This is a win that would sort of show you the fruits of your labor on how well you've taken steps defensively over the last couple of games, how well you've gotten some other guys involved in certain minutes, the development of Frank Anselm. These are some of those important games where it's like, all right, now you can go and get to see reap the benefit of all the hard work that you've been putting in and all the improvements that you've made lately.
Yeah, so Florida State is 71 in the net right now, which is sort of
important,
I guess.
That first one's a quad one now.
Yeah, if it's top 75, it stays quad one. Or no, sorry, because that was a road win. So I think regardless, it would be in the conversation because Syracuse played on the road. But now you're trying to keep it in the top 75 to keep it a quad one chance this time around, which is sort of funny because if you lose or if you beat Florida State, you might hurt their net ranking and it might fall to a different tier here.
Yeah,
but you still want to win the game, of course. Syracuse 100 in the net. Florida State is 52 on KenPom. Their offense is 95, and their defensive efficiency is 33. So they're pretty solid defensively. Yeah. A big thing for them, looking through their game logs and everything, even since Syracuse played them, Anthony Polite was a guy that they targeted as, all right, it's his time to make a leap this year. And a lot of Florida State players have done that, where they've gone from role players in minimal minutes to all of a sudden all ACC caliber players. And there was hope for him to do that. And he's really struggled. He's honestly even taken a step back at times, and his 3-point shooting has definitely been on the decline compared to what we were used to from him. So they're relying a lot on Caleb Mills and some of the transfers now. And Mills did have 27 points against Louisville in that win a couple games ago.
Right. I'm looking at, and again, the back-to-back impressive wins, I think, especially in this conference where stability has been hard to come by. But now you're looking at an NC or a Florida State team, rather, that's won 3 of their last 4 in conference. They got crushed against Wake Forest, which that is certainly, like, it's okay to lose to Wake Forest, especially on the road.
Yeah.
But when you're losing by 22, like, that's something that shouldn't be happening right now. There's a couple of things that obviously scare me about Florida State. The rebounding stuff, I mean, that's every single game is going to be a worry, especially against a team like Florida State that historically has guys that are big. They're good at getting to the offensive glass. But you're right. It comes down to the defensive side. Like, you see some of these games that they're playing in the 60s, including that Syracuse game from earlier this season.
Yep.
So if you can step – if Syracuse – I'm not as worried about this Florida State offense. But defensively, you're going to have to – your offense is going to have to put up a good performance against their defense because of the fact – like, you cannot have the game where only two guys play well offensively, like we've sort of seen these past couple of games. You can't have that in this one. You need to have a game where three guys play extremely well, and you probably need some contributions from a fourth guy to play pretty well for you on the offensive side of the ball.
Right. And last time, we'll get into this when we do the prop shot, but Buddy Boeheim was held to just 6 points and they still somehow managed to get the win on the road. They actually got the ball inbounded in the late game situation, unlike they did against Wake Forest. Cole Swider hit some free throws. The key to this game for me is limiting turnovers and protecting the basketball, because Florida State's defense, no surprise here, they always do this. They turn you over. They're 24th in the country in forced turnover rate on KenPom right now. They're averaging 10 steals a game. That's top 15 in the nation. And their offense really struggled against the 2-3 zone last time. So I just don't want to give them easy buckets in transition. And that's what happened when Syracuse lost to Miami. That's what happens at times when you go up against a really long and athletic Florida State team. They have a lot of guys that can steal and get to some deflections and stuff like that. Syracuse had 13 turnovers last time. They still won the game. I'd like to see that number a little bit lower this time around.
Yeah, so I was actually just looking at that number too, because, okay, volume of turnovers is one thing, but percentage is another thing here too. And one thing that Florida State does is they've got a super high defensive turnover percentage. So they're really going to turn you over, right? You brought up the numbers, but they're top 25 in turnover percentage defensively, at 23.7%. Syracuse, even though they turned the ball over 13 times, that's an 18.8% of based on possessions that they had. So they still took care of the ball pretty good relative to what Florida State usually will run up on you. But you're right. You can never have too few turnovers. You're always going to be one more from the turnover side of things of, okay, that possession was just a bad pass. You threw it to nobody. That possession, I think back to the last game where Buddy Boeheim just sort of chucked it off the backboard trying to get Jesse Alap. Those are the things you have to limit. If they steal the ball from you because they're good at getting steals, so be it. Sometimes defensive talent wins out, right? but it's the unforced things that you need to limit against this Florida State team, because those are the ones that those are the easy ones. At least make them work for their turnovers that they're getting and steal the ball away from you.
Yeah, I agree with all that. All right, we'll get into the prop shop. We'll also make our picks in just a little bit. But Syracuse fans, there's an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every single time they fill up. You just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. And there's no catch here. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or even an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app. Use promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE at the Get Upside app.
Hey, BetOnline, we'd like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. With a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile site, sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You just got to use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, all one word, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Whether it's football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet online is where the game starts.
All right, let's dive into the prop shop now. Pretty much no movement last week because in the last game against Pittsburgh, we both went 3-3. So I've got a slight edge on you, Ty, 38-40 on the season, up 10 whole fake dollars, which I'm going to be running to the bank with one of these days. And you are 35-43, down 770, because I guess I've hit some of the longer shot bets. But, man, I will say, give myself a pat on the back for some of these lines last week, because Pitt three-pointers made over under 6.5. It was 7. I was monitoring that. Just missed that one. You hit it by getting that 7-3. Jesse Edwards fouls over under 4. I thought that was a bad line at first. Then I end up losing the bet. And who will win the rebounding battle? Syracuse won it by one. Yeah. It was the last
5-0 in rebound margins now for Syracuse in the ACC. So,
you know what? Let's start with that one, because that's a prop this week again. I feel like we just got to keep riding it to keep reminding people that they are somehow 5-0 in the ACC in rebounding battles, which included one over Florida State earlier in the year. I keep saying it, but I think this is the week it ends, and I think it's just impossible for them to get to 6-0. They're not winning these battles by a whole lot, so I think it will be pretty tight again, and they made some strides there, but I'll take FSU to win the rebounding battle.
You know, I'm just going to ride the trend till it's no longer a trend.
All right.
I mean, the trend is your friend, right? I mean, it gets to a point too. And are they winning rebounding battles? Yes, based on the numbers. But there's some points where you get like 3 or 4 offensive rebounds on a possession. So that pads your rebounding numbers a good amount, sometimes enough to actually give you the victory in the rebound battle department, but you don't come away with any points on it. So it can be a somewhat deceptive number too, because who cares if you get 4 offensive rebounds on a possession? If you don't score any points off of it, it's pretty meaningless. You really just chewed off some clock and hurt anyone who's betting on the under at that point. So
yeah, it's true, because at the Wake game, especially when I was there, I was like, there's no way they're actually winning the rebounding battle, because it felt like there were a couple times where they fouled the guy in the rebounding action, which led to 2 free points down the other end. So maybe Wake didn't claim the rebound, but it's like, we didn't really claim the possession there. So I don't know. I mean, they did win that rebounding battle by like 7, but it felt a little odd that they were in control of the rebounding margin just by watching the game. The eye test didn't really line up. But next prop this week, Florida State, 3-pointers made. Remember, this was a big storyline last game because they were held to 4-for-30 from beyond the arc. Florida State entered that game a pretty good 3-point shooting team. They've got some solid shooters. We will set their over-under at 8.5 this week. Kind of a tough one to set, but they're averaging right around 7 per game, and I feel like they will chuck a good amount, and I don't see them being as cold as they were down in the Tucker Center. So I'm going to still take the under because I think Syracuse's defense has made progress, but this is a key stat in terms of if Florida State wins the game, it might be because they go over 8.5 threes.
Yeah, only two guys made three-pointers in that game. It was Caleb Mills and Malik Osborne. A lot of guys with some offers on that stat sheet. And this is a Florida State team that plays a lot of guys, too. It's you'll usually see like 9-10 guys trot out there for Florida right. State game to game. I'll go with the over here. I think they're going to stick with that game plan. I do think that seeing a team a second time usually favors the defense, but I think in this case it's actually going to favor the offense a little bit because it was such a defensive struggle that I think Leonard Hamilton's going to be cooking something up to, okay, let's get the ball here. We need to get the ball in this spot this time. And remember, too, this was the second game that Syracuse threw that 1-3-1 out there, or the 1-1-3, yeah. Whatever the hell you want to call it. Right. This was just the second game, the second time. So Leonard Hamilton really didn't have a whole lot of time to game plan for that one. I think he only had like 2-3 days to sort of prepare for this little wrinkle that was being thrown out there. So I'm going to go with the over here. I think that Florida State, they're still going to get quality looks, and I just think a few more are going to drop.
All right, next up, Buddy Boeheim's over-under. We will set at 19.5 points. That's basically what he's averaging right now. Only had 6 points last time against Florida State. If you remember, Florida State has length, and there were a couple times they threw even like a 7-footer on him and picked him up at like the half-court line. I just think that gives Buddy fits, and that's what Wake Forest did, and it gave him fits. So I'm going to take the under here. I don't think he's going to have 6 points, but it's a concern for me because I feel like teams are starting to figure out that, look, if you put some length on Buddy, it's harder for him to get to that mid-range shot. And if you take away his mid-range shot, he doesn't exactly get into the rhythm as well as he does. And really, Syracuse's offense never gets into a rhythm because that's so much of what Syracuse wants to do on offense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going with the under here. Again, it doesn't mean he can't have a good game. I think it's certainly in the cards, but like if you're asking for 19.5 points against a team that you only had 6 against, and it's because of a schematic thing that they threw at you in terms of putting some length on you, making life a little bit more difficult, pick you up full court sometimes, getting your jersey. I think this is the nightmare of it. And also this is a team that is never going to have a tired defender really on Buddy just because of the nature of we're going to play a bunch of different guys and no one's really going to play more than 30 minutes on this team. So I'm going to go with the under. Again, is he going to have 6? No. I'd probably guess he has like 14 or 15 in this game.
Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you for that one. As for who will lead Syracuse in scoring, we'll run down the odds for that. We do this every game. I took Buddy last game, and he came through for me. So his odds still leading the way, -110. Joe Girard, +235. Jimmy Boeheim, +285. Cole Swider, +420. Jesse Edwards, +550, who did have a double-double last time these two teams played. And then other is +1,000 if you want to get frisky there. I'm going to take Jimmy Boeheim. And the reasoning is because I think Buddy is not going to have as good of a game as normal because of the length on him. And if you remember, a big reason why Syracuse won and they came back in the second half of this game was Jimmy getting on Wyatt Wilkes and some of the longer guys, switching on to him and making some nice plays. I believe he had 13 points last time these two teams played, but I think this is sort of a matchup that favors him, and it will be interesting to see if Florida State adjusts after watching back the film of that game, because that was so much of why Syracuse came back was Jimmy making plays when they switched on to him.
I'm going to roll with Joe in this one because Joe's actually had, even though this is a team that you would think would give Joe some fits, he's actually shot the three ball pretty well against Florida State over his career. His freshman season, he went 5 of 12 against them, didn't play them at all last year. And then this year he went 4 for 8 in that win. And he hit some big ones against Florida State too. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to roll with Joe. He's had some success against this Florida State team. And I think this could be another iteration of that. I don't think he's played Florida State at home yet either. If I'm looking through some old games here. Where's that? He's never played Florida State at home.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, it'll make sense.
Maybe he just likes the tuck. I don't know. But I think he's one of those guys. I'd expect there to be a decent crowd for this one.
I hope so. It's kind of the first.
I think it was, what, 16,000 against Pitt was the announced attendance, something in that neighborhood.
God, I'm surprised they even got to that.
Yeah, like that may have been they may have had the security guards turn those turnstiles a couple times. But I would say probably it's a Saturday, like 3 o'clock. Like that's kind of the prime time. Like,
yeah,
I'd say it's probably like 21. 20?
I hope so. Well, I was thinking if you're a season ticket holder, and I'm sure we have some listening, so not to rub it in, but Indiana, Virginia have kind of been the only, like, this is why I pay for season tickets. I'm going to this game for sure games so far. Because
that's fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, not as many non-conference games as normal, as we've laid out. Then this Pittsburgh game was after a little bit of a road stretch that just didn't inspire a lot of motivation to go.
I saw a great comment on our YouTube page. I can't remember who had it, but it was, oh yeah, a lot of people didn't go because it was the day after the college football national championship. What?
it was like 14 hours after. Were
you hungover after watching a little Georgia-Bama? Like
on a Monday night? Yeah. I don't know. No, I think it was a perfect storm for that Pitt game. So that's why even 16,000 is pretty strong if they got that many.
Yeah, and even though the students aren't there, like Florida State's a premier ACC opponent. Even if they're down this year, it's still a game. Like if you and I lived in Syracuse, even if the team was as bad as it is right now, we would hit each other up and say, let's go, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're still a big-time name, yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is the games that – usually you've had maybe three or four of those Florida State type ACC games or crowds like that so far. You probably only have had two this year.
Yeah. You also haven't had a lot of home games either. Like what it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you've played 16 games. Half your games have been at home. It's not traditional for this program.
Right. No. All right. We will pick the game next and dive into how we think this one unfolds. If Syracuse can pull off the sweep, but it's the new year. So that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's actually maybe even better than a candy bar. And they make it easier to stick to your resolution because Built Bars taste so good. You want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. If you want to eat healthy, but it just gets boring by like week three, you might be thinking this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Good news. Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and they're somehow good for you. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your order. Again, that is Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, KenPom is projecting Syracuse to complete the sweep here. A two-point win, 76-74 is the projection. We have not gotten our number from our friends over at BetOnline.ag, recording a little bit earlier than normal for this one. But usually KenPom and BetOnline.ag are pretty similar, so we'll go off that number for now. I'm a little torn on this one, but I do think Syracuse wins, and I feel like I kind of have to say that because all week I've been saying that this team is playing a little bit better and they're trending in the right direction, and it's actually probably playing a little bit better than an 8-8 team would suggest. But at the same time, it's tough to beat a good team twice, and I think we're catching Florida State at a time where they're trending as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to roll with Syracuse in this one. And this is more of like a college basketball spot that we sometimes will talk about from time to time. Like, is Syracuse the better team in this matchup? No, they're not. Florida State is the better team in this matchup. But home game, here's a little betting tip for anyone, okay? Anytime you see a line with a home team, -1, -1.5, maybe it starts creeping towards 2, that team usually wins. And not only do they usually win, they usually win by like 7 to 10 points too. So if you see Syracuse here as a 1 or 2 point favorite when it comes out on Bet Online, roll with the orange, because it's just sort of a, if you play this out a number of times, Syracuse will win this game more than not just because of the spot that it's in. And like you said, there's evidence to suggest too, they're playing better as of late. So I'm with you. I'm going to take Syracuse to win this game.
I think Florida State has better players. Like you said, they're probably a better team. They're not going to shoot 4 for 30 from three again, because some of those were wide open.
And like, as well as Syracuse is playing right now, Florida State is playing better. I think that's worth noting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're talking about Syracuse playing well. They've also lost three of their last four games.
Yeah. Like, Florida State has won four of their last five. Yeah.
Right. So as much as we're talking about them playing well, that's almost like the consensus is not saying that. And when Florida State fans look at Syracuse, they're like, oh, we might be catching them at a good time here because they've lost three of four. But I do think the Syracuse is due a win or two to kind of level out the scale.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a close game probably, but I like that Syracuse is at home. Syracuse right now 8-8 against the spread so far this year. I am 6-7 on picking these games. You're 7-6 against the spread. I will say props to you. You've won the last four against the spread dating back to, I believe, the Cornell game. And I think I'm 3-1 in the last four. So we're on a little bit of a roll here. We were on them with the Pitt pick. I know it was kind of close to the half, but we both saw that as a blowout. That panned out. I think Syracuse wins this game. And I think it's sort of the start of this little run here that they go on before the Duke game. And it's just because I feel like they're owed a win off of the last couple losses, and even the Virginia loss, that was kind of close.
Yeah, there will be positive regression coming Syracuse's way based on how they've played. There have been singular plays that have sort of lost Syracuse games at times this season, and I just look at some of the balls will start to bounce their way. That's just kind of the nature of sports in general. And I look at this Florida State game as, okay, this is a nice little spot. And we kind of talked about it, like, you look at these next, what is it, like 9 games for Syracuse? Well, if you lump the Pitt game into it too, there's a real chance they can go 8-1. Will they go 8-1? Probably not. But there's very winnable games over this next stretch. When you look at, you got another game against Pitt. You get Wake on your home court. You probably feel a little bit better about that. You play NC State, who's been really down this year. Louisville on your home floor, and BC. And you've also got Clemson too. The one game that you're sort of, you can put it in Sharpie right now, that's a loss, is probably Duke on the road, right? Like,
yeah,
you and I aren't picking Syracuse to beat Duke on the road. So, not saying it can't happen, because crazier things have happened. And I think Syracuse was the better team in that Miami game, and Miami went on the road and beat Duke. So you can always catch them on off nights.
That's such the odd and sort of fun thing about this year's ACC is every single game, like, you can convince yourself, like, KenPom, as you're laying out, has Syracuse winning, let's see, 7 of the next 8 games outside of the Duke game. And if they do that, it's like, oh my God, if they win 7 of 8. But that's KenPom's projecting that, and he's also projecting them to finish 9-10 in conference and go 15-15 overall at the end of the season. So it's just odd because all these games are going to be close. And even you look back, Wake, Miami, like, I think we did do podcasts around Christmas time, and we said this is a pretty soft start to ACC play. And they started 1-3, or they lost 3 in a row after the Florida State win. So that's just going to be the nature of the ACC. They're probably not going to win 7 of 8, but I could see it the way they're playing. I do think they're trending upwards.
And if all of a sudden you're 15-9, including, what would that be? It would be 9-4 in the ACC. It's a totally different team you're talking about at that point.
Yeah, I think you're still...
You're still a couple ACC tournament wins away, but...
Yeah, you're still far off, but...
You set a path, almost be, at least. There's no path right now.
I'd almost, like, sacrifice a loss for a Duke win, because that Duke win... Like, Miami getting that win, to me, just makes them in a different tier than the rest of the teams in the ACC, because Miami has a legit quad one, no matter what, one of the better wins in college basketball this year right now by going on the road to Cameron.
So, by the way, root for the Hoosiers right now, because they are, I think, 31st in the net at this point. So they're knocking on the door of making that a potential quad one. And if you can somehow pick that one off and you can go on this little 7 of 8 streak right here, then you're talking about a different resume.
I love this. We just talked ourselves into Syracuse in the NCAA tournament.
We didn't just talk them into the tournament. We talked about it as like a Sweet 16, maybe like Elite 18. Right. Like, that's what we just
did. We're back. Final Four is back on.
It's not happening.
As they say. Joe Girard is back to being a Syracuse point guard, not Siena. Mm-hmm. Everything's good again. So
he might be playing for Duke by the end of this season.
Yeah, right. The way we're going. No, I think it's, we're just looking at it and trying to envision a path. And the way they're playing, it's not crazy to think. They still just would need, like we played on Matt Norlander's, or we played the podcast yesterday clip, and Matt Norlander was like, they need something near biblical to go their way. Yeah. It is still very unlikely.
Well, let's be honest. Winning 7 of 8 is near biblical. It, really, it would be 8 of 9. Winning 8 of 9 is near biblical. So if you can get that to go your way, like, listen, we're laying it out, okay? 8 of these next 9 games are very, very winnable and can go in your favor. But are they going to go 7-1 in that, or 8-1 in that stretch? Probably not. But if you do, that is a Herculean effort, and that is the near biblical thing that could go their way.
Right. Yeah. It starts with this one, though. They got to get this win over Florida State. So we both think Syracuse does do it. Fingers crossed on that front. We'll be tweeting the game at @LO_Syracuse. Our live thoughts throughout it on Saturday, 3 p.m. tip for that one. If you're going to the game, maybe tell a friend about the podcast. Get the word out there. That always helps us. Drop a review as well. Subscribe to the show on YouTube if you haven't already. And we will talk to you guys on Monday with a full Florida State recap.